Well, friends, let's get into our message for this afternoon. We're going to be looking at 2 Kings chapter 4, and we've been in this fourth chapter now. This will be, I believe, our third message, and there are actually several miracles to be seen in 2 Kings 4, and we've looked at a number of these miracles, and what is the point of all these preceding miracles? Well, I think for one thing, it shows us the power of God. Then we have seen that God has power over debt, death, danger, and even deficiency. So we come now to another problem that the school of the prophets came to, that Elisha, God used him in a miracle to address the problem. And 2 Kings chapter 4, and in verse 42, there came a man from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, what should I set this before 100 men? He said again, give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof, or have plenty of leftovers. So he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof, according to the word of the Lord. God is willing to give to satisfy our hunger. He is a God of grace and mercy. And I think we have a miracle today that points to both the greatness as well as the goodness of God. I've always felt I could pray with confidence to the Lord to say, give us this day our daily bread. And God does that. He can supply for us. And God can supply for us. And it can even be a miracle when that happens. You know, and then again, I think here's an illustration of what a gift can do. And we may never know what one single gift, how it may change the lives of so many people. I think when we addressed this Wednesday night, we talked about giving, what Jesus taught about giving. And, you know, we should always view our giving with the potential results. So here's another miracle at the hands of Elisha the prophet, very similar to another miracle that our Lord Jesus performed during his earthly ministry. And yet the miracle of the multiplication of Jesus was far, far greater than that of of Elisha. Elisha fed 100 with 20 loaves, while Jesus took just a few loaves and fishes and fed over 5,000 people. So I don't know why. Maybe that they had run out of bread. I think all the bread had been put in the pot of stew. So they ran out of that. So, and I'm sure they lived on that soup quite a while. But I think we can see that here's a miracle of giving unto the Lord. Here comes this man from a place called Shalisha, and he brings a gift. He brings a gift to the man of God. Oh, that's a blessing, to bring a gift to the prophet. And it was a gift of bread of first fruits. He brought his tithe, but he also brought extra. He brought a gift to give to the prophet of God. 20 loaves of barley and some corn and he said, give unto these people, help these people to eat that they may eat. Well, I'll say that I think, first of all, you know, it is a miracle that anyone is willing to give anything to the Lord or give anything to anyone else. That is a miracle in itself. And I know that because I can tell you that before I was saved, and probably even after I was saved for some time, I was not a what you call a giver. I was only a taker. I was not really a giver. In fact, I would not hardly give you the time of day. And I might even give you a hard time. I mean, if I could. But I learned to give by God's word. And I learned to give by observing other pastor ministers how to be a giving person. I didn't think about this for just now. Probably somebody that I learned more about that than anyone was Brother Sheridan Stanton. Brother Stanton was a pastor here for a number of years, and then he surrendered to go to Peru as a missionary. And in fact, this church voted and we sent him out. We sent him to Peru. He was under our direct authority. But I had opportunities to travel to South America many times and to go over to Peru and spend time with Sheridan and Anita Stanton. And I watched him. And he was one of the most giving men that I ever met. I know that he fed and gave money and food and things to a lot of native preachers over there. And they would come to the door, you know, a very poor country. And Sheridan would give to them and give to them. And I venture to say that half of the money that Brother Sheridan ever got, he gave away. And so observing that, you know, I learned a lot about how it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I was taught as a young believer the importance of giving of my tithe to the Lord. Now, a tithe is, that's 10%. And so when we got, of course, before we got married, I still tithed. I mean, I was a single man. But I would still give unto the Lord of the little bit that I had. You know, I would give, and I had a few jobs, you know, that I worked and didn't make much money. And so, you know, I might give a tithe of $20, you know, because I only made a couple hundred dollars, you know. But I learned very early that. And then, of course, when me and Pam got married, we made a covenant with each other and we made a covenant with the Lord that we would tithe and give the first fruits. And that's what the first fruits are. That's the tithe. That's the first fruits of all your inheritance, of all your of what you make. And so we started that when we got married. We made a covenant that the first check that we would write after we got our paychecks, the very first check we'd write would be to the church. That we would put the Lord first. And as time went on, we got more faith. We said, well, we give a tithe, let's add 2% as an offering. And so we started that. And then we said, let's add another 2%. And it went to 14%. And I don't know quite where we're at now, because the Bible says, let not your left hand know what your right hand's doing. So I don't even know half the time what I'm doing. I'm glad I got a wife that knows what she's doing, and she handles our checkbook and all of that, so I just leave that to her. But I'll tell you this, we have tithed and given an offering to the Lord. We've supported missionaries. And I want to tell you, I've never regretted doing that. Never have regretted doing that. And I have proved God's word. You know, over there in the book of Malachi, I used to call it Malachi, but it's actually called Malachi. He taught this, and I believe it's there in Malachi chapter 3, in verse, if you look in verse 8, he says, will a man rob God? Boy, I tell you what, I'd rather rob anybody else than God. I don't want to rob anybody. I would not want to rob God. He said, but yet you've robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And he answers, in tithes and offerings, you have robbed me. So you're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. And then he gives the admonition in verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Then he gives a benefit. Verse 11, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Isn't that something? You tithe and you put the Lord first in your and you give unto the Lord, and he promises to bless it. And he promises a preservation of the stuff you already have. I believe that. I believe. You know, God has made some things for us last a long, long time. A long, long time. I mean, I've bought cars and driven them and with 200,000-300,000 miles on them. And you say, is that because of the car? Well, no, not necessarily. But I do believe the Lord can preserve things for you when you honor Him. I mean, I've got suit clothes that are older than Methuselah. I mean, I don't know how old this suit coat is. I think it goes back to... Well, I outgrew it. There was a time when I was a fat preacher. And I got so fat that and big that I couldn't wear some of these suits. But I don't know why I've lost all this weight. I guess as you get older, you don't want to eat as much. That's my theory. And so now I've shrunk down enough to where I can wear suits that I wore 30 years ago. I can still wear them. And you know, if you keep them long enough, they come back in style. Believe it or not. That's the way it is. Well, I was taught as a young believer to the importance of giving my tithe unto the Lord. And I have found God's blessings in obedience to Him. And you have heard it before that you cannot outgive God. I believe that. God won't let you outgive Him. But there is something about giving that I think might be pretty important. You notice in the text that this man was... that came and brought the barley bread tithe, he was from a place called Baal Shalisha. Shalisha? And he brought to the man of God the first fruits, the barley loaves, the fresh grain of sack. So he probably had already made about 200 potential quantities of bread. He's only bringing 20 with him for his tithe and his offering. The first fruits acknowledge the goodness of God. And so he brought his tithe unto the prophet Elisha for the purpose of helping those preachers. God bless those who help the preachers. And as I said, I do believe in storehouse tithing. I believe our tithes should come to the church that we're a member of. And that's what I was taught. And that's what I've done, that every church that I'm a member of, that's where we deposit our tithe and our money and our gifts. Now, I've helped other missionaries, and I've even sent money to other preachers that had a need. But that's over and above what I'm dedicated to give to the Lord. One time when I lived in Indiana, I pastored up there. I did a funeral for a lady. Her 27-year-old son died of a drug overdose in California. And they shipped his body back to central Indiana. And the woman wasn't a member of our church, but she didn't know who else to call. And she called me and said, "Can you do the funeral of my son?" I thought, "I'd be glad to." Beloved, that was the first funeral I ever did in my life. That was way back in 1977. And I did this funeral. And for about 2 years, maybe longer. I still think when we moved to Florida, it had been about 3 or 4 years, this woman would send me a check every month. And, of course, I was grateful, you know, that she sent it to me. She didn't send it to church. She said, "I want you to have this money because you were a blessing to me when I needed you." I thought, good. But one time she sent that money and she said, "Here's my tithe." And I thought, it's not right. So I wrote her back. And I said, "You know, you need to put your tithe in the church where you're part of. I'm happy that I'm grateful for what you've helped me with, but you need to send your tithe to your church." And like the widow's oil, it ran out. The checks stopped coming. But I consoled myself with the thought that, well, I told her the right thing to do, right? And it is the right thing to do. I believe that. And that's what we have practiced for all of our lives. We recently, you know, we had a couple members here of the church that I won't mention their name, but they left the church about 2 or 3 years ago. Maybe 3 years ago. They came to me and said, "Well, our daughter's moving down here and she doesn't like this church. She wants to go somewhere else. And so we're going to go try some different churches." And I said, "Well, okay, we hate that. Hate to lose you." They said, "We're going to join another church." Well, obviously they didn't, because, I mean, every week I'd walk out to the mailbox and there was a check from them. Every week. Week after week for about 3 years. And we kept talking. Me and Pam would say, "Why in the world do you think they keep sending us money to this church?" I guess that was just a tradition with them. And that's the problem sometimes. People just, they're afraid not to tithe. You know, but if I, oh, if I quit giving this tithe, you know, God's going to whoop me or something. I don't know. But here in the last few months, this check stopped. So we just assume they've either moved back up north or they have finally found some church that they have joined. But the thing I'd point out is that this man that gave the barley bread, he recognized Elisha as the one true representation of God in the land of Israel. And you notice something else here. You see, he resides in a town named after a false god, Baal. Baal Berith was the name of a false idolatrous god. He comes from a town originally named Shalisha, but it was Jezebel, the wicked woman, that gave this town a new name. And I firmly believe that this man who brought the offering said, I cannot give my offering to anybody in the town called Baal, or any town with the name Baal, a false god associated with it. You got to respect that. That this man brought his money to a sound ministry, not to some Baal thing. So it is important to give the proper way, at the proper place, and even at the proper time. Paul addressed the Corinthian church, and he said, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So we're to bring the tithes and offerings into the Lord's house, that the Lord may use that for His honor and for His glory. And we may never know how far-reaching there may be an effect and fruit for eternity as far as our giving to the Lord. We just don't know what our gifts unto God are really going to accomplish. And it reminds me of a song one of our men used to, Brother Danny Johnson used to sing this song quite a bit. And the song was called Thank You. And the lyric is, here, a missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry. Now, you didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. And Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. One by one, they came far as the eyes could see, each life somehow touched by your generosity. And the little things that you had done, sacrifices you had made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven, now proclaimed, and I know up in heaven, you're not supposed to cry, but I'm almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand, and as you stood before the Lord, He said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad that you gave. Yes. We just don't know what our gifts unto God are going to accomplish. But I'm going to tell you something. The Lord knows every one of them. I tell you, the Lord knows every dollar you give, even if it's only a dollar. God can bless that. I told the church Wednesday about, I handle thousands of dollars every month for Baptist Faith Missions. They send money in here to Sanford. Every week I go to the post office, and it's like last week. I mean, I went down there last week. I collected about $80,000 out of that P.O. box. And I take those checks and I process them and I make out a report, just like I do here for the church. And we make sure that money gets deposited and that it gets to the bank and that it's going to get to that missionary. But I was telling the church Wednesday about a woman. Her name was Mary Lamb. And every month she would send a little, small little envelope. And in that envelope was a paper. And inside that paper was a $1 bill. And she used to say, that's all I can give. I live on Social Security. And all I can give is $1. And she said, I feel so ashamed that that's all I can give. Beloved, that gift is precious to Jesus, even if it's a dollar. And not only precious to Jesus, but to me too. And I wrote her back a little note. And I forget exactly what I said, but I said, her name's Mary Lamb. I said, Mary was a little lamb whose heart was white as snow. And Mary gave a dollar to God to support the missionaries we know. God bless you, Mary Lamb. Well, haven't heard from Mary in a long, long time. Found out that not long ago that she's now in a nursing home and no longer can live on her own. Well, we all face that very thing. Well, here's a miracle, not only of giving, but I think a miracle of the grace of God, from the grace of the Lord. And the miracle shows us the divine multiplication of grace, that God can give you grace. He can multiply grace unto you. And God is able to solve our problem, even if it takes a miracle. Yeah? It's amazing that God can create miracles, even to solve our everyday problems. Isn't it interesting, the stuff that God does? Like today, just as for instance, I had to counsel a lady named Pam McIntosh. She used to be here. She wanted to talk to me, and I went back and counseled her, and it wasn't any big deal. I won't get into that. So everybody had pretty much left to go to dinner. And I wanted to know, well, where'd they all go to eat? And nobody knew. Of course, I got a text later on from Brother Andy, where they'd gone. But so I thought, well, where are we going to eat? Where are we going to eat? Well, I went over there and looked at Rockle. I knew what Rocco liked. She likes Panera Bread. So I said, shall we go to Panera Bread? And what did Pam say to me that Annika, right? Annika had wanted to go there anyway. So that's where we went. And we had got us a nice table right back here in the back, perfect for everybody that went. Rob went and all of us went, and we sat there, and guess who walks in the door with the wheelchair? It's Jay and Denise. You think that was an accident? I don't think so. Sometimes miracles happen, and they may be small the way we think of it, but the Lord knew where we were going to be, and the Lord knew where they were coming and put us, and who knows what will come out of all that. Something good may come out of that meeting, right? Amen? So we just don't know. So here's a miracle of the grace of God. And again, even the smallest gift is not despised of the Lord. Even if it's a dollar, it's not despised of the Lord. And I got to tell you that even in the church, you know, we've gotten gifts of, I mean, I've looked at $5,000. I mean, the other week we got a $5,000 check, and then I open up another envelope and it's $5. You say, are you grateful for the $5,000? Well, absolutely. I mean, that's a blessing, right? But you know what? I'm not any more grateful for that $5. I'm just as grateful. Because that's a gift of love. That's a gift of love. Now you say, okay, well, I'll just give $5 then. Not what I mean. I'm just saying. The Lord looks on the heart, doesn't He? He looks on the heart. Well, here's a miracle that pointed to the goodness of God. And miracles happen when we believe God, when we believe God's Word. And man shall not live by bread alone, but by the Word of God. And our Lord, what I found out is our Lord is well able to meet our needs. And once in a while, it may be providing a miracle. Just, it may be providing an absolute miracle. And I think this story, more than anything, points to the adequacy of our Savior in Jesus Christ our Lord. His grace and salvation are adequate for us. And you remember how Jesus took a little boy's lunch and fed 5,000. He fed a multitude of people. And I just think about what the Lord said there in John in chapter 6 and verse 9 when he saw that little boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And, oh, what are they among so many? And Jesus multiplied that bread and that fish and fed nearly 5,000. And the Bible says they gathered up fragments that remained, that nothing was lost. And beloved, it only points to the fact that the Lord Jesus is the bread of life. And he that is hunger, he comes to Christ, will never hunger, and he will never thirst. You know, we have a Savior. We serve a Lord that is not frustrated by our own deficiencies. He's not frustrated by the problems that we set before Him. We get frustrated. We get worried, but I'm going to tell you, there's no panic in heaven, only plans. God knows what He's doing. And Jesus can heal not only a poisoned life that we saw last week, our good God can make your life good again. Our good and loving Savior can bring healing to the mess of pottage of our soul when we come to Him. And our Lord can heal the heart. And He can provide everything that He knows that we need. You know, God didn't always promise to supply all your luxuries and all your wants. But He will provide your daily bread. He will provide your needs. And I'm so very grateful that He does this for His people. Well, I hope you have a good Christmas. That God gives you happiness and joy with your family and friends this time of year. It's a good time of year. I love this time of year. Pray for us. We'll be traveling. Hadn't planned on it, but again, the Lord knows what He's doing. And we'll just trust the Lord that we can be a blessing to our family up in Kentucky. So you pray for us. God bless you all, and hope you have a great week. And we'll see you in a few weeks. All right, let's close. Father, I thank you for another opportunity to engage you in worship and service. And Father, truly, it is a blessed thing to give unto your work, to your ministry, to your cause, just like this man gave just some barley bread and grain, but you took that and made a miracle that fed many, many people. And I pray, Father, that you'll take our gifts, whatever they may be, whether monetary or service or whatever we give, take that and use it and multiply it for the salvation of souls and the encouragement for those that are saved. Again, we ask for your mercies upon the ladies of our church, and especially Sharon there, going through the surgeries. We pray that you'd bring her through this and correct whatever physical problems that she's having with her back. Just pray for her. And bless others who are sick or set aside, Lord, meet their need. And we'll be grateful for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.